chapter 2. Our text today, Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. Hear now the word of the Lord. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit now you would bring this word to life in our hearts and our minds. Lord, teach us truth from your word, we pray. And Lord, our prayer this day is that we would hear your voice and your voice only. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. What kind of lessons can we learn from the shepherds? I thought about that. In fact, the title in the bulletin is The Shepherd's Example. I think in the weeks since I've made the bulletin, a week and a half ago, I've wanted to think about the shepherds' lessons. What can we learn from the shepherds? The first thing I think we notice about these men is their faith. They would have never gone to Bethlehem without faith. Now, most people would say, well, if a company of angels appeared to me and told me this, I would certainly go and see that. Really? You really would. The God of the universe, the great and awesome King of the universe, has condescended to give you his word. His word says for you to go and to do, and you sit and do nothing. So don't tell me you would go if the angels suddenly appeared to you. You have something here that is exactly what those men received, the word of God. And yet, you do not always go. You do not always do, as the Lord God says. None of us do. This is part of the problem in our day. People are more enthralled with the messenger than they are the message. They're more attuned to a dynamic speaker, which I'm probably not. There are large crowds that flock to hear certain men speak who are better speakers and better preachers, but it's not in the person. It's in the word. It's what's communicated. You know, many people followed Jesus. Thousands followed Jesus because of miracles, because of free food, like when he fed the 5,000 and the 4,000. And then we come to something like John chapter 6, and the teaching gets a little difficult, and many of his disciples, the scripture says, left him. Jesus turned to the 12 and he said, "Are you two going to leave?" And Peter said, "Where would we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life." It's not in the miracles. It's not in the showmanship. It's not in the electric guitars and smoke machines. It's in the Word. It is in the Word of God. And notice these men, they heard the angels. The angels soon departed. They were soon gone. What did they say to one another? Look at the text. They talked to one another. And they said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." It's in the message of the Word. The Lord has made this known. And what is this that drives them on? It's the promise of a Savior. A Savior is born today in Bethlehem. There he is. The long-awaited Messiah. The Lord's Christ. In the house of David. The great King who will come and deliver his people. That's what they went to see. It wasn't about the angels. It wasn't about the demonstration or the show that the angels put on. It was in the message that they delivered. And they went to see that great salvation made manifest in the flesh. You have to wonder. You have to ask the question, perhaps. What is your faith resting on? Is it resting on the Word of God? Is it resting on the revelation of God Himself? Is it resting on faith in Jesus Christ as He is presented in the Gospels? I say that quite often, like last night when we had the Lord's Supper. If you've put your faith in Christ alone for salvation as He is presented in the Gospels, not some conception you have in your mind, not some conception someone has told you, but what is presented in the Word. Or are you looking for miracles and showmanship or even blessings as is so often presented today? Or are you looking for the Savior as He's presented through the Word? Second thing I think we can learn from these men is humility. These are rugged individuals. I would call your attention to David's description of his own life when he went out to fight Goliath. They said, "Well, you can't go. You're just a boy." He said, "Look, I'm a shepherd. I have killed the bear and the lion, defending the sheep." These men have probably, with their staffs and their slingshots, fought bears and lions and wolves to protect the sheep. These are tough people. But notice, when these angels appear, what happens to them? They're terrified. They're terrified, it says. A little side road here. Our conception of angels is all off base. You know that, of course. It's kind of like the one here on the display. They're usually women, beautiful, with long flowing hair and clothes like Cinderella getting ready to go to the ball. That's not what angels look like. They're awesome and mighty, awe-inspiring and terrifying beings. Look at what these brave, rugged, outdoor men who fight lions and bears with their bare hands, basically. They see them and they're terrified. You know, I think if mankind would put themselves in the right perspective, we'd have a whole lot less trouble in this world. Man exalts himself. He thinks, I can do this, I can do that. But when you see something like this from heaven, it kind of puts you in your right place. There would be more peace. There would be more of the things we sing about at Christmas and fail to enjoy most of the time if people would humble themselves and realize really what they are and where they are. But further to that, notice the way in which they give up on themselves. They put themselves second. The diminishing of their own self, their own self-interest. They discuss this, the shepherds, as we've read there. They say, let's go to Bethlehem. They talk this over, and they leave the sheep behind. This is their job, to take care of the sheep. And they leave them, and they go to Bethlehem. Not to the palace, not to some grand reception, not to some great celebration at the palace. They go to a stable, more probably a cave. It's probably not as inviting as an open-air stable. It's a cave where they've kept these animals with manure and hay on the floor, but perhaps. This is where they go. And they give no thought to their occupation, to their demands. They leave and they go to worship the newborn baby. They come here to this place to kneel down, perhaps, in the manure, in the filth. We have a very difficult time getting people to leave their occupations, their livelihood, their families, the revelry with family and friends for an hour or two to come and worship the King in comfort, heated or air-conditioned air or whatever. We have electric lights. What if we asked them to go to a stable and worship? It'd be a very small crowd indeed, wouldn't it? But there are brothers and sisters in Christ today who are probably worshiping in conditions not much better than that, and at great risk, and at great sacrifice, perhaps personally and financially, employment-wise. You know, we've put all these things ahead of Christ. We've put these things first, and, you know, if we have time, we'll go and worship. These men left all that behind, and they went to worship. And the angel says, I'll give you a sign. You'll find him. He's going to be a little baby. He's going to be in the stable. And they went anyway, back to their faith. The King of Israel, the Messiah, the great King who's going to come and free his people, is a little baby in a stable. But they went to worship anyway. And they go rejoicing. They hurried off, it says. They forgot themselves. And they go rejoicing on their way. You know, they are the keeper of the sheep, and tradition holds that those sheep that were kept in that area around Bethlehem were the sheep that were used in the temple sacrifices. These are not just regular shepherds. These are special shepherds. They watch over the sheep that are supposed to be without spot or blemish. They're supposed to be well taken care of to be the sacrifice at the temple. But they go now to see the one to whom all those Old Testament sacrifices pointed, to whom all the foreshadowings, all the sacrifices, all the blood shed in the Old Testament were pointing to this one who is to come. And so they go on their way rejoicing. He is here, the one to whom all these things in the Old Testament pointed. They go to see this thing which the Lord has made known to him, to them, excuse me. The blessing, the privilege that they have is beyond measure. The Lord God has sent angelic messengers to announce this to them. Shepherds, rough, out in the field all the time. Not to the king, not to the palace, but to these men. And I think there's, you know, we've talked over the last 4 weeks in the theophanies and the foreshadowing. I think there's even foreshadowings here. John said he's the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. These men who kept the sacrificial lambs go to see the true Lamb of God. And they go rejoicing. But they only go for one reason. Because God in his favor has announced this to them. The same reason that you know Christ today, because God in his favor has revealed that to you. He has changed your heart. He has opened your heart that you might receive the truth. What did the angel song say? And so many of the other translations get it wrong. But it's glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. It's not peace to everyone in the whole world. It's peace to those who in God's favor he has shown this light into your hearts. And there is great reason to rejoice over that. More reason to rejoice over that than anything that could happen to you today. Any gift, any blessing, any special time with family, all pale in comparison to the fact that God has shown favor to you and to me, a wretched sinner who hated him, who was opposed to him, who rebelled against him, and he's shown the light of his favor into my heart and into your heart. Well, finally, the shepherds do one other thing. They go on their way rejoicing, and they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They spread the word, Messiah, the Lord's Christ, the Son of David, the promised deliverer, has come. And they go on their way telling this to all that they see. And the people they see are somewhat incredulous. Yeah, right. He came and revealed this to you, dirty, nasty shepherds. Many of the people probably thought they were insane or drunk. Or perhaps they were a little mentally unbalanced from spending a little too much time alone in the field with sheep. But they're not deterred by what people think. They go spreading this news to all who will hear. They go, look at verse 20, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They are so happy at what God has revealed to them that they can't keep quiet about it. They're telling everyone that they see about this glorious thing that the Lord has done. And they care not that men think them fools. They care not that men think they're perhaps crazy or drunk or both. That doesn't bother them, for they have seen the Savior. For unto you, they said, is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this is where he is, and you can go see him there because the Lord has made it known to you. They go with that good news. And you know, I think that's where Christians fall down. We're so intimidated by the criticism. We're so intimidated by the ridicule of the world that we're reluctant to speak up. The only reason you know the Savior is because the Lord has shown that light in your heart. The only reason you're one of his children is because he has chosen you and he has brought that good news to you. And yet, you let the opinions, the ridicule, the criticism of the world hold that message in. And your challenge today is probably even greater than many days. Will you go forth from here as you gather with family and friends? Will you proclaim this good news? Because if it's like my family, many do not know that good news. Many don't want to hear that good news. But will you go forth rejoicing and glorifying and praising God for this thing that he has brought to pass, which he has revealed to you, which he has done in your heart? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful, tremendous blessing that you have given. And Lord, we are the recipients of your favor in ways that are beyond the meaning of that word. Favor does not adequately express your goodness, your grace, and your mercy to us. Lord, we should go forth from here rejoicing as we go, telling all what you have done, what you have done for all who will believe, what you have done in our own hearts. And let that joyous message ring forth from our lips, we pray. I pray that you would strengthen us to that end. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.